Continuing on in this series of sermons, we've had a good time with this. And then this week, we have arrived at a new word, cleanse. Now, all these words are meant to fall into one of two categories. Either they are words like lavish or masterpiece that describe who we are in the Lord. This is how God sees us. Or there's other words like solitude or this morning's word, cleanse. These are words that are designed to challenge us that if God sees us a certain way, then we have the responsibility to step into what God has for us. These are mechanisms or pathways for us to draw closer to the Lord. And this morning's word is cleanse. And as I mentioned, it's the first day of spring, and maybe it's time for the spring cleaning to happen. And I know some of you ladies, I didn't see any of the men raise their hands when they were excited about spring cleaning. Maybe it's time to do a little spring cleaning. And what does that actually look like? One of the things that I've noticed being married for 40 plus years now to the most amazing woman God has ever given me, could ever give me, is that I've noticed something, baby, over the years, that if I were to say to my wife, hey, baby, I got a couple guys coming over tomorrow night. We're going to watch the game, get a pizza. She never says no to that, but I have noticed that there's something that immediately happens whenever I spring that on her. Out comes the yellow gloves. You know what I'm talking about? Those cleaning gloves. Out come the gloves, and she starts cleaning every inch of every room that we have in our house. Just because two of my friends, who are probably knuckleheads that live in filth themselves, they're used to it. They're coming over to watch the game. My wife feels the need to clean up every room in our house. Don't you, babe? I've often joked that if I ever want my house clean, which it is always clean from my perspective, because I think we have an amazing home, and she does, I want to say we do an amazing job. That's a lie. She does an amazing job of making sure everything looks great. But there are sometimes, you know, the house looks like, well, all of our houses look like they're just lived in. There are things and there's clutter. But my sweet baby feels the need to clean up everything just because a couple of people are coming for a couple of hours. We have two bathrooms in our house, and one of them is the one that we direct company to. Well, Paula will still clean the second one. And I said, baby, they're not going to use this bathroom. They might. They might. Top to bottom, the house gets clean. And anytime I think, wow, I want my house to be clean, I know how to do that. I'm just going to invite some friends over. I don't really do that. But, you know, this doesn't just apply to my wife. About a year and a half ago, we had some district leadership that came to visit us. Dr. David Smith, you guys remember him coming, him and his lovely wife, and he visited here this day, and I made sure that, look, this room was spick and span, every chair, and I don't know how y'all do this, but at the end of Sunday, these chairs are all cattywampus, and we just have to straighten them out, and I made sure that every chair was just perfect. Colby, I have a system for that, don't I? I do. I'm very anal about that, and I have a system, and I made sure every chair was straight for David Smith, because he was coming. And I didn't want him to judge us poorly. Oh, that chair is out of place. Not that he would ever do that in his heart, amazing human being, but I made sure. And then I spent like 2 days in my office, and my office usually looks like a junior high boys' locker room. And it looks like something literally has exploded in there. And I made sure that it was spotless. I actually dusted. And I put things away. Now, I didn't put them away properly. I just hid things. Do you ever do that when company's coming? Do you just hide stuff? Do you take the clutter and just move it somewhere where nobody's going to see it? Do you have that room in your house where you open it up and you just throw things in there? That's what I did in my office. And when Paul and I were out to dinner with David and his lovely wife, his wife asked me, she said, Steve, I have a question for you. Now I thought, okay, she is going to ask me a theological question about what I preached about. No. She said, I have to know. Did you clean up your office? Because my office door is always open, and I just want you to know it is always open, and you can come and go freely. And if I'm in there, or even if I'm not, just come in, hang out. I mean, Cammie comes in every Sunday. Little Kamiley comes in, and she finds my readers, and she puts them on, because she just feels at home. And she usually has them on upside down, but she puts them on. So my office, my life is an open book, so you need to know that. So his wife walks into my office and kind of looks around. And I'm glad she didn't actually, like, you know, open any of the cabinets up, because she would have seen that I just threw all the clutter in. And I said, yes, I did. And she said, I thought so. And here's why I thought so. We go to churches all the time, and I have never seen a pastor's office look like this. And I thought, I'm the only one that cleans up for you guys to come? And I felt the need, just like my lovely wife, and probably some of you late. Now, ladies, if your husbands came to you and said, the bros are coming over to watch the big game, how many of you feel compelled to clean up? Yeah, a lot of you do, because you're just going to be judged by them people if something is out of place, right? And this is natural within us. The reality is, sometimes our houses are lived in. But we're going to equate that to our spiritual lives. Sometimes our lives are a filthy mess. That's just the reality. This is who we are. And this morning, I want us to get the idea that this applies to every one of us. There is filth and there's brokenness. And there are places in our lives, those rooms that we throw all the clutter in the hope that somebody doesn't see it. Worse yet, we think that we can hide those areas from the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot. But yet, we all have filth. This is reality. The Bible tells us, does it not, that we all fall short of the glory of God. And just because we've been saved doesn't mean that every room in our house, in our lives, are cleaned up, spick and span, and spotless. There are still those places, if we're honest and we're transparent, there are those places that we need to work on, that we need to do a little spring cleaning, that we need to declutter, and then keep it that way. There's a passage I'm going to share with you that the Apostle Paul gives to the church at Corinth, that he describes something that I think is kind of amazing on the surface, because it seems impossible that we could do this on our own, but we can. But then what is more amazing about this is the why we would want to do this. And it kind of, when I was studying it this week, it caused me to take kind of a gulp, a kind of a hard look at myself. Because yes, I understand the theology that the Apostle Paul is about to give us, and I understand the need for this, but the reason why caused me to really kind of assess the reality of what God wants and how he sees me. I hope it kind of grabs you today. If you have your word, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read just one verse from chapter 7, the first verse. If you would like, you can stand, you can raise your hands, you can close your eyes, but this is the reading of the word. These are not Pastor Steve's words. These are my words. And what I'm going to say, what he is going to say, seems like it's impossible. It is not. It's not only impossible, we are privileged. No, yet we have the responsibility to do exactly what he says to do. This is the reading of God's word. Chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, and we're going to back up in a second because it says therefore. Therefore, since we have these promises, and we'll talk about them. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves. Other versions of the Bible says the word cleanse. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Praise be to the Lord God for the reading of his word. The Apostle Paul challenges us to do something that seems impossible. He says to cleanse or to purify ourselves completely. Everything. Everything that contaminates body and soul. Body and spirit. Body. Okay, Steve, you don't need 4 Big Macs. 3 will probably work. And when I say Steve, I'm talking about me, not you, Steve. I realize that I'm looking right at another man named Steve. This is a Steve. But listen, Steve, Steve was talking about this Steve, not you, Steve. Sometimes there's those moments that just happen. I'm addicted to Big Mac, Steve. Yes. Quarter pounder guy. The Lord God says, Steve, you probably don't need me, Steve. 4 Big Macs, you need 3 or 0. Anita, you would say 0. You would. I know you would. Body and spirit. The Apostle Paul says to do this. You purify or cleanse everything in its totality. Everything that separates you from your life as a human being and your life as an eternal being. You separate those bad things and you get them out of your house. You purify it. I say this all the time, but the Lord God wants to do more than save you. He wants to transform you. He wants your house to be clean. He wants it to be spick and span. He doesn't want you to have any rooms in your house where you throw all of the junk and the mess into because you're trying to hide that, not just from the world, but from Him. He wants you to be free from that. He doesn't want you to live in the clutter. He doesn't want you to live in the mess because that's not life abundant. That's not the life in the full that Jesus promises to bring us. A decluttered house. That's the only way we can have life in the full. There are so many people that are living with 1 foot in and 1 foot out. They want to reach out to God. They want to have God's goodness. They want to experience God. But they want to just kind of hang on to a little bit of themselves. Or worse yet, those worldly things that are not good, that they know in their heart separates them from a holy, holy, holy God, but yet they want to hold on to those things. I believe, but help me with my unbelief because there's still too much of me that I want to hold on to. And a lot of people end up with those places in their house that are still a mess. Now, I'm not going to go down a list, but you know, because the Holy Spirit will meet you in the midst of your decluttering what needs to go and what can stay, because it could be a little thing. Maybe we have a problem with our worry. Maybe we worry too much. Or maybe we're anxious. Or we have doubts. It could be a little thing that needs to be cleaned up. Don't you think the Lord God would say, I want you to be free from worry and doubt? I want to take that from you. Declutter that. And the Apostle Paul says, you can do this. As a matter of fact, he's challenging you to do this. Clean that up, he says. Purify everything. Everything goes. Everything is polished. Everything is made new. Or it could be a big thing. It could be a problem with lust or greed. It could be an outright sin that maybe the whole world doesn't know because we hide it, because it's in that back room. You know that room that nobody ever sees. And I've got a lock. It's got a lock on it, and I've got the key, and I'm never going to let that door be opened, ever. That's not freedom. People convince themselves to believing that true freedom is, well, I love the Lord God, and I'm on my way to heaven, but I still get to live my life the way I want to live my life. God would say true freedom is, you're free to live your life like me. And that brings you health, happiness. It brings you purpose. It brings you into an existence where you're not just existing, but you're thriving and you're living. And more importantly, people see Christ in and through you. Now that's life abundant, and that's what God wants for each one of us. He doesn't want us to be held bondage to our sinful nature. We can be free from that. We can choose it. And if you think you don't have the power within you to do that, you're wrong, because you do. If you have accepted new life in Jesus Christ, there is a promise given to you. It is the indwellment of the Holy Spirit of God, everything that you need to say no, or let's put it this way, to clean up your house, to get rid of the filth, is within you. The question isn't, can I? The question is, will I? And until you do, you will never experience God's goodness. You will never experience the fullness of what God has for you. But that's the challenge, but the reason just really hit me hard, and I want to just land on the reason for a moment. Oh my goodness, when I read this, the very beginning of this verse, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, since we have these promises, we should clean up our house. What are the promises? Well, let's back up about three verses. Circling back to the previous chapter, the Apostle Paul gives a series of promises. It's the very last part of chapter 6. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul is now quoting a whole bunch of different places all throughout the Old Testament. But these are promises that the Apostle Paul gives. Now, the beginning of this, I said, baby, I got a couple friends come over to watch the game. And she immediately thinks, I need to clean this house up. It's a mess. If the Apostle Paul says, you need to clean up your house because it's a mess, guess who's coming? It's not just company. Here's the promises, and this is what makes me gulp, because this is the relationship God wants us to have. These are the promises mentioned. He says this, he's quoting now Old Testament scripture. I, the Lord God, will live with them. Isn't that amazing? God's choosing to live with us. We don't have to go to Him. He comes to us. I will live with them and walk among them. The Lord God is promising intimacy with His people. Isn't that amazing? I will live with them and I will dwell among them. I will walk with them. I will do life with them. I will share everything with them. We're hiding nothing from each other, in other words. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. These are promises from the Lord God made to His people. Therefore, this is what He says, come out from them and be separate. This are the peoples that they were defiling themselves with, because they were the people that were separating God's people from a holy God. Be separate. Come out from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord wants nothing more than to have real intimacy with us, because He's coming to our house. He's promised that He's going to dwell among us, walk with us, do life with us. That means you don't invite Him into your home and say, Lord, you sit here in the living room and don't go to those other rooms. You have access to everything. The Lord God wants to come to your house. He wants to come into your existence, into your context. He's not just waiting for you to show up. You know my life verse. Revelation 3:20 says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock, that if anyone would hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Here's what I want to happen in my life, and I want it for your life. When I hear the Lord God standing at the door of my heart or my house, knocking, and I hear him calling my voice, I don't want to have to say, hold on a minute, because I got to go clean up everything before I open this door. And then the Lord, on the outside, hears me slamming doors and cleaning things up. That's not the relationship that he wants to have with me. Here's what he wants. When he shows up, and that's the promise, I will live with them and walk among them and have intimacy. Here's the relationship that he wants us to have with him. The Lord is here, and we open up the door, we invite him into every bit of our existence and hold nothing back. And the only way we can do that is if we have purified, is if we have cleansed everything, hiding and holding nothing back. That's the only way we can have true fellowship, true intimacy with a holy God, is if we have set aside everything that separates us from him. Does it scare you that the Lord may want to come to your house? In other words, to have access to every bit of your heart? Well, it's okay if it does. So I'm going to give you a piece of advice in a moment. But what if it didn't scare you at all? What if instead it made you feel like, yes, come. Come and share this moment with me and just walk with me. And the two of you, hand in hand, with nothing between you. Isn't that better? I'm tired of having one foot in and one foot out. I want every part of me in. If more of you means less of me, then that's what it takes. I clean myself. I clean every part of my life. I make it holy. Because you're coming over and you deserve this. And out of reverence for you, if nothing else, I give you my existence. Come and have free will and reign in my life. Now, if it's scary and you think, I don't want the Lord coming over today because I got to put on the rubber gloves and I got to clean some stuff up. If it feels scary, if he's coming, this is simple. You start somewhere. Sean, you can't clean your whole house but one room at a time. That's the only way it works. So whatever it is, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you in this, just by just letting you know, would you do that if you knew Jesus was here? I don't think you would. So be brave and courageous and just say no to that. It's as simple as that. Lay those things down. I'll not be a part of that anymore. Whether it's a filthy joke spoken in the varsity boys' locker room, you don't have to be a part of that. Whether it's people engaged in gossip, you don't have to be a part of that. No matter what it is, you can say, no to that. And here's the challenge I'm going to leave you with today. Be mindful. If you want to change behaviors, the scripture is very clear. If you want to change behaviors, all you have to do, well, the only way to do it is to change your thinking. So I'm going to challenge you today to change your thinking. Be ever aware. Can you do that for the rest of today? And I promise you, you do it today, you could do it tomorrow. And if you do it tomorrow, you could do it for the rest of the week, maybe for the rest of your existence. Just ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of those moments that it's like, I would normally bypass and overlook that area of filth in my life, but not today. I see it the way you do. It separates from me from you, and I say no to that. In other words, I clean that up, and I get it out of my life. And if you're mindful of that, I promise you, the first moment you have, you can see filth in your life, if you're being mindful of it, you have the power within you to clean that up. And the more you're able to do that, the more eager and the more likely and the more joy you will have when the Lord shows up, because the promise is he's coming to live with you and walk among you. The more eager you'll be to open that door and saying, welcome, welcome to my house. Welcome to my life. Welcome to my home. You have free reign over everything I am and everything that I have. Now, that's life abundant. But it starts with you, and you can do this. The power is within you to cleanse, to purify, to get rid of it. You don't have to be held in bondage by it. You can be free from that. Amen. Jim and his team are going to come. Jim, if you'll just give us one song as we close this morning. I want you to turn right if you need your picture taken. But when you do exit, be mindful. Maybe there's places in the house that are filthy. And if they are, be bold and clean it up. Brother Jim? Something ironic is on Tuesday, our district superintendent, Chris Williams, is coming here to meet with church leadership. So guess what room you think I'm cleaning up this week? But I can promise you, Brother Chris is less interested in the cleanliness of my office and much more interested in the cleanliness of my life and of our lives. So church, it's not May 1st. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's March 1st, which means spring cleaning is upon us. So church, let's clean it up in your scent.